That would be hilarious if I just ohmed for like 2 hours straight and that was my podcast. I was putting that out to the world. To each their own, if you want to do that. I've got my nature-y music on. I'm realizing how difficult it is to talk and not hear my voice so much and have that bother me. So as you can tell, this is my first podcast I've ever done, and I am trying to figure out how to make it happen. My name is Taylor Blanpied, or Blompier. I still haven't decided how I want to pronounce my last name, so either one is fine. This is at least what I'm titling it right now, The Middle to Nowhere. This is a podcast about life, about spirituality and finding spirituality, especially after being raised in, for me personally, being raised in the Christian, non-denominational, 90s evangelical movement type of church. I got burned a good bit, fell away from my beliefs, and was pretty much agnostic, I guess, for about a decade. And felt kind of had gone through some different things during that time, some different times in my life where I was more depressed than others. And I've burst back on the scene of spirituality and am essentially wanting this podcast to be a way to figure out what I believe. I've learned a lot of things in the last year. I had what some would call a spiritual awakening happen to me through the very first time I had ever tried psychedelic mushrooms. So I'll talk a lot about what I've learned about psychedelics and maybe even play some footage of myself talking while on some of these different psychedelic journeys, or we can call them plant medicine journeys. And what I've learned, this will be a platform for me to just talk about my own inner healing and hopefully that inspiring others. I've been thinking about starting this podcast for a while, and I've like crept a little bit closer and closer to actually recording this, and I've noticed so much in the last few days, just like anxiety coming up in me. And I feel like I've gotten better and better at self-examining my motives and, why I might be fearful of something. And I realize that the self-criticism is the biggest thing that's been coming up for me. Like many of us, it's like I want to be self-expressive or put out a piece of music. And, I've been a musician most of my life and have not really put out any of my own original music that I've written for the same reason. It all comes down to just being afraid, afraid of being judged. And, when I really think about doing any of those things, I know that's not likely to really happen. But anyway, it just, the idea of criticism and that fear just keeps people stagnant and keeps me stagnant. And I've just wanted to kind of push through that feeling. And so I think having a podcast for me personally will help me flex those vulnerability skills. Like I just want to be, my kind of end goal for my own spiritual and personal journey, I just want to be more and more free, free to say whatever is on my mind. Obviously, with thinking about if I'm going to hurt people, and, you know, making sure that my communication is loving, but just free to speak my mind and free to just live. And I think something else in my journey of kind of self-examination, I've realized that one of my ego structures, if you will, is that I so badly want to be the one with all the answers. You know, I have always wanted to be gifted. I always wanted to be skilled at, you know, some sort of musical instrument or good at something, as, you know, for a lot of people, it's sports, wanting to be the best at. For a while, I wanted to be in the NBA, you know, and that didn't quite work out after getting cut. Well, I did get cut. I was the one of two white guys on the freshman basketball team at Conley High School in Waco, Texas, and was really good at warming the bench with my butt. And, you know, kind of realized that, all right, I'm doing this music thing, I'll stick to that. But anyway, I've realized that I've, in kind of growing up in church, I always saw that the people that seemed to get the most attention and, you know, in my unconscious brain, love, were the ones on stage with all the answers and the wisdom and, you know, or the worship leader playing the guitar. And so I did the worship leader thing for a while. And I am realizing, you know, when I started my spiritual journey about a little over a year ago, I realized that, you know, as I'm like learning to let go of this idea of an ego, that very quickly replacing that was just a spiritual ego of wanting to be the one with all the answers and wanting to be the most spiritually enlightened, or whatever you want to call it. And I think that in that ego structure of me so badly wanting to have all the answers, I think it's more powerful to see one's journey of asking good questions and seeing the struggle of the battle of, and that's what that vulnerability piece is to me. It's like knowing that I don't know all the answers, but just I do have a lot of wonder and awe and learning to see the beauty in the day-to-day magic and seeing signs that the universe is, you know, on my side, that God is on my side. And and then also a part of this podcast is, did I say podcast? Step one, call it podcast. Casting my pod to see if I get any bites. The other part of that, the intention I have for this podcast is for it to be a space where I can highlight the beauty of others and learn from them. Like I was saying, I don't want to pretend to know the answers, but rather just be myself. A guy who was raised Christian, you know, who became agnostic, and who is now, I'm now on my awakening journey, and I'll talk a little bit more about what I think that is. I don't want to pretend to have the answers, but I am someone who is very much so wanting to learn more and more and share that journey with you guys. Right now I'm also kind of in parallel to starting this podcast is I'm writing a book, which is really fun and not fun and scary and amazing. And it's been really cool journey of me just figuring out what I have to say and, yeah, just diving further into this person that is me. So, yeah, what I want to talk about in this first episode is just kind of start, it's a really long story, but tell you guys a bit about my journey of just who I am and just like my journey of coming up to this kind of spiritual, I hate using the word spiritual awakening. A lot of people use it and it just seems like there's inherently some judgment in there of like feeling better than, oh, I'm awakened and you're not, and this whole woke stuff. So I maybe this will be our journey of maybe finding our own words that aren't quite as weird. I was born at a very young age. I was born and raised in Waco, Texas. And I have a twin sister named Rosie. And I grew up in Waco, which is a very Bible Belt area. Grew up going to church. Grew up being very involved in our church. We went to a church, originally a church called Highland Baptist Church that ended up having its own kind of split where they decided to no longer be in the Baptist vein or whatever. And there was a non-denominational church that came out of that called Antioch Community Church that ended up getting pretty big, is now pretty big in Waco. Been around since the mid to early 90s, but we were a part of Antioch from its beginning. There were, before they had a building and were giving services, like using like a trailer for their little stage and stuff. So a lot of what I will talk about is some of that journey, some of the stories of growing up in church and what that was like, and some stories about how amazing my time was there and some not so much. But it all belongs. But basically there were a few things that happened that weren't great that happened at church, and I will have further episodes about that. Some of it involving me having premarital sex and me confessing to that to some different leaders and me getting kicked out of the worship band and things like that. So some interesting stories ahead there. And man, I can even sense just saying that, this like gut pit stomach churning feeling, which I think is a good thing, because I'm wanting to, part of my mission these days is to dispel fear wherever it may be lurking inside of me, because I believe that fear is the opposite of love, that most of what we perceive as hate is just a kind of a behavioral outcropping of fear, being afraid of something, and using anger as a shield for that fear. But anyway, I went to college and I did a music performance degree, playing drums, and I play guitar and do some songwriting and stuff as well. But I went to college and then decided, after getting a music degree, maybe I'll need a real degree. And but in that process, I moved to, after getting my music degree in Waco from McLennan Community College, great music school there, by the way, that's there in Waco, I moved to Austin, Texas, and lived there for about 6 years. And during that time was kind of a kind of slow dismantling of my, previous beliefs. I still would consider myself a Christian, but I didn't really go to church then I went for, you know, I shopped around a little bit, did a little church shopping when I first moved, and went with a few different friends. But it was a slow process of losing my faith, and just, I think, with the people I aligned with, kind of the artsy, fartsy people, there was a lot of more and more friends that were just hurt by the church, and there was kind of this collective, it seemed like, losing of our traditional or the faith of our upbringing. And in that time in Austin, I ended up getting married, and was married for about 2 years, and ended up getting a divorce. And I'm sure I will talk more about all that. Again, the stomach twisting feeling of vulnerability is a very real sensation. But I felt this kind of feeling of shame through that process, you know, especially with the faith that I was brought up with, and so many of my friends being Christians. You know, divorce is like a no-no, like cardinal kind of sin, or so it seemed like in the church bubble that I was raised at Antioch. And anyway, so I was kind of ready to get out of town, get out of state. I was working for a company in Austin at the time, a software company doing tech support for a company called Blackbaud, and they make software for nonprofits. Like, anytime you do a Race for the Cure or something like that, you're probably signing up or doing donations through one of their forms. They do a lot of different stuff. Doesn't really matter, but was working for them. They have had an office in Austin, but the headquarters are in Charleston, South Carolina. And I'd never been in Charleston, South Carolina. Didn't really know much about it, other than it was like an older historic type city that I remember, you know, reading about in like history or something. And that they have beaches. But anyway, after my divorce, I was working for Blackbaud and decided to move to Charleston, South Carolina, to kind of hit the reset button. And it was a really powerful thing for me to really be able to like move somewhere. Like, I did the full like 17-foot U-Haul trailer with all of my possessions, with my car being towed behind that. Made the 20-hour drive straight to Charleston. This was in 2016, and just that journey alone, that journey singularly was a very like chapter closing, chapter opening part of my life. You know, I felt like I had done a new chapter thing when I moved from Waco to Austin, but this was like a really big, you know, chapter, or completely new book, it felt like. But it was an opportunity for me, who so much of my life was seemingly kind of, you know, dictated by the atmosphere around me, a lot of it being church, and what is acceptable, what is not, kind of culture that, you know, me completely getting out of my bubble was like this very freeing experience of like, what do I really believe? Who, like, I'm very much so growing up like being a people pleaser and kind of like anamorphing to each friend or person that I'm around. And it was just a really interesting experiment for myself. Any of you out there that have completely moved and started a new life somewhere, it's a strange feeling, and can definitely talk about more about that in later episodes because it's a really interesting thing. But I ended up beginning to date my now wife. She was my boss's boss's boss at the time at Blackbaud. So that was really interesting. And yeah, fast forward a little bit. We've been married since 2021, and yeah, we've gotten to do some really cool things. If you back up a little bit to the end of 2018, after saving up some money, we quit our jobs at Blackbaud and basically had pared down all of our everything we owned to fit in our two vehicles. And we drove them to my dad's farm in Waco, and so like and stored them there, and then we started to hike the Appalachian Trail. I always want to say Appalachian because that's what I've said my whole life, but apparently it's Appalachian. That there Appalachia. And I've always been outdoorsy, but that was just such an incredible experience. We ended up hiking for 3 months on the AT or the Appalachian Trail, and did a lot of other travels that year in 2019. So that was like starting in spring of 2019. And we ended up getting to also hike the Camino de Santiago in Spain. And I'd love to talk more about each of these trips in later episodes. But really, really amazing experience of getting to do those things. And then we even it was about a 2 week long Everest base camp trek in Nepal in the Himalayas. And that was an incredible time. And I ended up proposing to Christy at base camp. It's just a little less than 18,000 feet up, and was so amazing that we were able to, that we weren't sick yet. So we got sick basically that night, and lots of crazy stories and things learned from being in other cultures. I always love the quote. I don't know where it's from, but there's no greater education than travel. And I feel like I've learned a lot through traveling and seeing other cultures. And so I'll definitely be bringing a lot of cultural stuff into this podcast. But, you know, during this time, I was definitely, I wouldn't say open spiritually, but I wasn't like atheist. I was more so agnostic. I don't know what I believe, and I'm okay with that, and I'm open to learning, was kind of the idea that I had in my mind at that time. And something, I think the big thing that happened to me that really kind of thrust me on my own inner journey or my own self-healing journey happened in 2020. My the short version of this story is my dad went through what I guess some doctors would call a manic episode or some sort of psychotic episode. And my dad had never had any sort of psychotic anything. You know, he's been just the most like regimented, you know, worked all of his life, very hard worker, very, you know, very consistent, always does what he says he's going to do kind of guy. And it started out as this kind of opening thing where he was just really, he he's always a loving and upbeat and funny guy, but there was this heart-opening thing happening in him, and he was just all of a sudden being really creative and writing music and wanting to share that with everybody, and taking his wife, my stepmom, Gail, on dates and things like that, taking her kayaking and sharing videos of that with the family, and it was just really cool. And then all of a sudden, it just started to get faster and didn't really make sense. And he wanted to talk, you know, answer the phone, and he just wouldn't stop talking. And a lot of the ideas just were kind of all over the place. And I ended up flying out there as soon as I realized that something else was happening, and took him some different doctor's appointments, and they prescribed him some medication. And when it came down to for him to take the medication, he wouldn't take it. And he ended up throwing the medication across the room, and there was a lot of yelling, and it was pretty traumatic. And that was just towards the beginning. And so the overall time that he was in this state was, I want to say it was a little over a month. And it was just a really scary time for me, because it was like I had just started it's 2020, so it's quarantine, just starting, and I was working this remote support job that was new, and I'd be trying to work, and I'd get some sort of Facebook notification or check Facebook randomly, and he's, you know, putting videos, like streaming himself, kind of rambling, and all these different posts that just don't make sense, and it's like so many different emotions all at the same time of just sadness and shock, and I don't know who this person is that has, like, gotten a hold of my dad, and not knowing how it's going to continue to progress. You know, when you stop trusting someone, it's like your fear can kind of go out of control of, like, what is this person capable of? And, you know, he, like, was never one to spend money on anything growing up. He's always very all about saving money and, you know, fixing things and not buying new things. And he, during this state, he had just bought a brand new truck, was like driving down the road and saw it and wanted it and bought it. And, you know, later learning about all these are all classic manic behavior signs, is spending money very wildly is definitely a sign. And as well as, they call it illusions of grandeur, where you talk very highly about all sorts of different plans and things. It's not a really great definition, but anyway, you can look it up if you want to. But it was really probably the most painful experience of my life, of just feeling so out of control. And that was the kind of event that pushed me into wanting to go into therapy. And so that started my therapy journey. And as far as the whole situation with my dad, he ended up agreeing to take some sleeping pills, slept a good bit, and eventually came down from it. And luckily, it has not come back since. But that specific event has been kind of it's kind of interesting with, really, when tragedy strikes, the silver lining of how it brings people together. And I've talked about this a lot recently with some different friends of mine, because I had to let go to, had to say goodbye to a very close friend of mine named Jesse Holcomb, that I grew up with, who passed away. And anyway, I'm kind of jumping a lot. I will try to get better at not doing that so much. But just seeing the beauty in the silver linings and how different events like that bring people together. And looking back, it was so difficult to go through, but it really started a healing process in, I think, everybody that was involved in my family. And I now feel very grateful for that happening. But that got me into therapy, and so I was doing therapy for a long time and learning how to do better self-examination, and went through a couple of different therapists, and you know, did the cognitive behavioral therapy, and then also some psychoanalytical stuff where they go back to different memories and kind of connect the dots. I read a book that was really powerful to me called What Happened to You. It's a book that's co-written by Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Bruce Perry, I think his name. Really great book. I'll probably eventually talk more about it, but just got me thinking more and more about my inner self and healing from my past, and how basically the idea of how when hard things happen to us as children and even as adults, how it shapes who, you know, our personality, and we pick up these different coping structures that may have served us in childhood, but as we grow into adults, that no longer serves us. And during that time of self-examination, I went and got tested, realized I have ADHD, and that really like lighting up a lot of light bulbs for me of like, okay, that makes sense. This struggle and this struggle and this and this and this all really line up. And so that was really another really great stepping stone of this journey. And to get to my spiritual awakening, if you will, I was really looking into and like researching psychedelic therapy. There's so many studies, so much out there that is so, a loss of words right now. There's a lot out there that suggests that psychedelics can help rewire your brain chemistry. It helps with neuroplasticity and basically healing from things from our past. There's been a lot of studies about healing PTSD and veterans and other people have had traumatic experiences. So after checking it out for a while, because, you know, this pretty sheltered Christian kid, ex-Christian kid, going into psychedelics, you know, before that, you know, it's like I drink and I've been, you know, I've smoked weed, but you know, like, oh, magic mushrooms, I have no idea. This is a whole another thing. But over time, I got really comfortable with the idea of it and got a, you know, a CD friend here in Charleston. A guy I knew back at Blackbot, I won't say who. If you worked with me, you know who it is. But got my hands on some mushrooms and waited a long time, and eventually I tried it, and it was, in a nutshell, it was a spiritual awakening. It was like I wasn't out of my body, but my mind was like on another plane, and it was like being viscerally wrapped in warm, divine love. And from that moment on, it's like I knew that there is something very real out there. You know, you can call it God or the universe or, you know, whatever. it's that moment was like showing me what can be. And it was just this place of love and connectedness to everyone and everything, nature, the world, animals, other people. I felt this strange connectedness to everything, like we're all like a part of the same thing. And yeah, I felt like I was just like wrapped in this warm blanket of love, and where fear didn't exist. And when I came down from that, all these really interesting things started happening in my life. And there was this, for like a month after I first took them, I like to call it the afterglow effect. And it was like I just had this, my heart was just so open. You know, I'd be walking down the street and look at people and feel love for them. And in such a, I don't know, life-changing way. And, you know, before then I've tried so many self-help type things and tried routines and trying to get up and go to the gym every day. And it's just like morning routines just sucked. I was like, I'm not really a morning person. And somehow, I don't know if this was like some sort of rewiring in my brain, but after that experience, I felt this desire to want to get up every day and meditate and just get up early and keep a routine. And for 3 months straight after that, missed a couple of days, but pretty much every day for 3 months straight, I got up at 5:30. And meditated, went to the gym, did a lot of yoga, stretching and stuff. And then I went to the coffee shop, went to good old Starbucks, and would journal. And I have so much writing from that time because I was journaling pretty much every day. And yeah, it was just kind of this crazy spiritual thing where it's like, for so long I realized I'd been closed off, my heart's been closed off to my spirituality. And it was almost like a certain, like we have different valves to our heart, like one of those valves is our spirituality. And I realized like it's been, part of myself has been dead for a long time, or dying for a long time, you know, thirsty. And it's been real thirsty. And I, having only, you know, walked away from my upbringing in the Christian faith, being just kind of burst wide open to like spirituality, it's like, whoa, like kid in a candy store, like what's astrology all about? Let's look into that, read a couple books on that. What's this whole Buddhist? What's Taoism? What's this and that? Who's this guy Ram Dass? Excuse me. And so just listening to a lot of podcasts, reading a lot of books, and just getting into this like study mode, was still learning a lot about psychology as well, and learning about attachment theory, and Christy and I, you know, working on our relationship in so many different ways. Because like when someone goes through a spiritual awakening, and the other person is still doing what they're doing, it causes some things to rise up. So it was a really hard time for us in our relationship. And I'm sure I'll talk more about that too. But yeah, it's like ever since this door has been burst open in me spiritually, like I saw what it could be like to live free of fear and like bask in this joy of love that could exist for me day to day, not through just like taking mushrooms every day, but it was almost like the mushrooms, you know, allowed me to see what it's like to be free of all of this crap that I've been carrying around every day. And it's hard for me to explain that mystical experience because it's like more real to me than anything else. And I will tell you some really cool stories of like some strange and wonderful coincidences that I couldn't explain, like random interactions all of a sudden with strangers where they needed to hear exactly what I was needed to say to them, or felt this kind of pull to say something to them, or vice versa. They'd say something to me that really hit my heart in like perfect timing ways. And I just would randomly meet them at the coffee shop or at the gym or wherever. And I also had some really odd interactions where animals seemed to be drawn to my presence, and a few times actually needed rescuing and having to rescue some animals. So I'll tell you some stories about that. But that afterglow effect eventually faded, and you know, I've had to learn to try to enjoy those high moments of bliss and even the low moments of feeling so alone and, you know, futile, as well as like learning to just be present and enjoy all of the in-between moments. And so since then, you know, I've gotten into a lot of different things, whether it be different forms of meditation, yoga, breathing techniques, spiritual direction. And a little bit after that, I went through this, I enrolled in a pretty expensive but very impactful 10-week coaching program that was taught via a culmination of like kind of cutting edge research of how to let go of negative beliefs and replace them with positive ones, and a lot of what you would read in a lot of self-help type books, but how to set and attain goals, and as well as how to like rewrite your own stories. And that was a very non-spiritual, very like based on neuroscience way of thinking. And I think what I'm kind of on this journey of doing now, and what I'm writing my book about, is like the idea of like, what if we had just a belief system that made sense as far as looking at it from a spiritual perspective, and also a psychological and neuroscience perspective of what it would make sense that what makes us happy neurologically and physically, and living our life that way also matches this spiritual life, and there being this even flow of both. But yeah, I my ultimate goal for this podcast is to learn to be more vulnerable in my journey, and hope that it's helpful for others. And I want to learn from other people. I don't have all the answers. I've learned a lot of stuff, but there's no way. It's like the weird thing that happens when the more you learn, the more you realize, or the more you know, the more you realize you don't know anything. But yeah, I'm still very much new to all of this, but I have a lot to learn. And I'll have some great friends and other people, maybe other authors and things, if this podcast continues to grow. But people who may not even be on the spiritual path at all, but I feel like there's so much we can learn. But a lot of it will be specific to those on the spiritual path and what that looks like. And, you know, I feel that spirituality and creativity are inextricably linked. You know, I'm a musician and songwriter, and I want to utilize this platform to spur on creativity in myself and others. I believe there's so many people out there that have so many giftings, so much to share, but like me, never share any of the songs they write, or, you know, share any of the stuff that they do. And I believe that everyone is meant to express themselves creatively, and I want to be an encourager to those people. who want to share their creative gifts. Like, come on, baby bird, you can do it. And use this as a way to encourage people to share more. So I probably will have an artist series type episodes where local artists can share songs and talk about their creative process. Right now I'm halfway through going through a book series called The Artist's Way. That has been really cool, so I'll talk some more about that. But yeah, I think that's all I have to say right now. This feels really strange, so I hope that it connects with you guys, and yeah, thanks. Till next time.